from KQED. This is the California Report podcast. I'm Sonia Hudson.
And I'm Lily Jamali. Governor Gavin Newsom is preparing to deliver his first State of the State speech this morning. He's signaling that he might take a tougher approach to President Donald Trump than his predecessor, at least when it comes to the border. KQED's Katie Orr reports.
As a preview of his State of the State speech, Governor Newsom has announced he's redeploying most of the 360 California National Guard troops currently stationed at the U.S.-Mexico border. The troops were sent there under former Governor Jerry Brown at the request of the White House. Newsom says Trump has manufactured a crisis at the border and that he won't take part in what he calls political theater. Still, Newsom says he will keep 100 Guard members at the border to focus on narcotic search and seizures.
On the issue of drugs, we actually have seen some success with our current deployment, and that's the issue that I want to tackle.
However, Newsom says he'll only keep those troops at the border if the federal government continues to pay for them. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Let's go now to Southern California, where the former sheriff of L.A. County, Lee Baca, could be on his way to prison. Monday, an appeals court upheld his 2017 conviction for obstructing justice and lying to the feds. Baca is 76 years old and has Alzheimer's disease, which his lawyers have used in his defense against charges that he tried to stop an FBI investigation into brutality against inmates. Baca faces 3 years behind bars, but he's stayed out of prison so far during the appeals process.
Well, meanwhile, in L.A., the LAPD is taking heat after the L.A. Times found black drivers have been disproportionately stopped by one of the department's units. If true, the question becomes, is it racial profiling? The Times investigation doesn't prove racial profiling, but some are certainly calling it that. The police chief says the department did not target African Americans. Earlier, I spoke with Cindy Chang. She's one of the LA Times reporters who broke this story, and she started by explaining why this particular unit doubled in size a few years back.
What happened was in 2015, there was a huge spike in violent crime in LA, particularly in South LA. And so Mayor Garcetti announced that they were going to double the size of the Metropolitan Division, which is an elite division of the LAPD, and send officers into areas that were experiencing a lot of violent crime to try to get those numbers down.
And what does the data you uncovered reveal about the pattern of stops? How pronounced is the difference for African Americans versus the rest of the population?
What we found by analyzing publicly available data about the stops was that black drivers in the city were stopped more than five times their share of the population. And even when we isolated South LA, which is about 30% African American, about twice as many African Americans were stopped there as their share of the population.
Now, these types of stops are very controversial, but there are some in law enforcement who are going to say this is what it takes to keep cities safe, this kind of initiative. In LA's case, what can you tell us about the effectiveness of this approach? Do we know?
We don't know. Crime went down last year after increasing for several years prior to that. And there are some other metrics that could possibly prove Metro's productivity, such as how many guns they've seized or how many arrests they've made. But the LAPD has not provided that data directly to us. And there's also some other indicators, such as what happens to the person after they're stopped. For example, if you stopped 100 people and you didn't arrest anyone, then maybe you're not stopping the right people. But the LAPD was not collecting that data until they were forced to by a state law beginning on July 1st.
Cindy Chang is a reporter at the LA Times. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Cindy.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Mayor Eric Garcetti has ordered the LAPD to scale back these kinds of stops. The department did not respond to our request for comment.
Two California cannabis dispensaries are hooking up with Canadian businesses. Oakland-based Harborside, which is one of the largest dispensaries in the country, has announced a new partnership with a Canadian company that allows it to be listed on one of that country's stock exchanges. And the Apothecarium, which is a popular San Francisco cannabis company, is being bought up by a Toronto-based business. As KQED's Jeremy Siegel reports, the moves highlight what could be a new international dynamic for the state's budding industry.
The Apothecarium has been operating in San Francisco since 2011, first as a medical cannabis dispensary, and then also as a recreational marijuana seller after commercial sales became legal in 2018. Now the company is being acquired by a Canadian cannabis company called TerrAscend for nearly $120 million. Apothecarium CEO Ryan Hudson says part of the reason they're making the international deal is the barriers presented by federal laws against pot here in the U.S.
There is a gigantic need for capital in the U.S. cannabis industry. And because the capital markets in the United States are completely closed to us, we are forced to look elsewhere.
Unlike what you might expect, Hudson says the deal won't be made all in cash because the Apothecarium does have above-board banking relationships. He says we can expect to see more international investment in California's marijuana industry like this as the drug remains illegal at the federal level. For the California Report, I'm Jeremy Siegel.
PG&E is announcing a shakeup is in the works in the utility's boardroom. In a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Monday, the company said half of the people currently serving on its board of directors will no longer hold those posts come May. That's when PG&E holds its annual shareholders meeting. The utility entered into Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection 2 weeks ago today as liabilities mount from a series of deadly wildfires on its territory. It's under pressure to make change. The New York City-based hedge fund Blue Mountain Capital Management, which is a significant shareholder, has been pushing for the entire board to go, and PG&E's state regulator has also said it's considering whether to remove the entire board.
And you know, Lily, I never thought that I would be this interested in the inner workings of a utility company, but it has been a crazy couple of months for PG&E.
That's absolutely right. And tomorrow is another bankruptcy hearing here in San Francisco. Of course, KQED will be all over that.
As we have been, definitely. And that is the California Report podcast for this Tuesday, February 12th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Sonia Hudson.
And I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great day and thank you for listening.
Support for the California Report comes from Bridgebank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life sciences communities. Bridgebank, be bold, venture wisely. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. Collectivehealth.com.